Good morning, Sunrise. All right, normally, I've done this. This is my third time preaching. So you're going to get what you get. But normally I lead with a joke. I could not find a decent joke on fasting. So I'm going to tell you a little story instead. We didn't write this down, Betty, so I don't know where it's going. When the elders and Dan and I got together and we started talking about the sermon series that we're currently in, discussing the Christian disciplines, I suggested that the elders also participate in the preaching of those lessons. I felt it was important that the congregation knew how important it was to us, not just Dan. And so funny thing is, right after I opened my mouth, I drew the short straw and I got fasting, which is second only to tithing for least awesome sermons to deliver. So you get you don't get tithing. We'll save that one for some other time. But if you wouldn't mind, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There are three key parts to this scripture that I'd like you to focus on. First, Jesus makes it clear that he expects us to fast. We as Christians are to fast. Second, fasting isn't something that's to be done to prove how worthy or spiritual we are. It is to be done as an intimate act with our Creator. And third, God will reward us for the obedience we show him. That's it. I really could just go sit down, and you now know everything you need to know about Christian fasting. Jesus lays out the expectation, tells us what to do, what to expect in return. Boom, we got it. So my question for you is, why don't you fast? Why don't Christians fast? When I became a Christian, I didn't know much at all about being a Christian. I just knew that Jesus was worth following and that I wanted to be his disciple. I'd heard of spiritual fasting, but I didn't understand it. Many other religions use fasting in their practices, and I knew that Christians also fasted, even that Jesus expected it. I figured at some point a mature Christian would explain it to me. What I found out is that there seems to be a lack of information provided in most churches regarding fasting. There seems to be some confusion about what Christian fasting is or isn't, and there aren't many examples that I've been exposed to other than those laid out in the Bible. In 6.5 years, the first class I participated in that covered fasting was one I taught. And there may be a sermon on fasting once every 1 or 2 years. It's not talked about very much. So, as a new Christian, I didn't give it very much concern. As I've grown in my walk with Jesus, the Holy Spirit has guided my training and introduced me to the spiritual disciplines. First, let's establish that engaging in the spiritual disciplines is difficult. They can be hard. They require work, time. They require perseverance. I've often wondered, and some of you have heard me say, why following God is so difficult. There's a term that gets thrown around in the Christian world that many don't understand. I certainly didn't until I started digging into the spiritual disciplines. That term is sanctification. It's a lot of syllables, right? Sometimes people throw it around and we all look confused and we nod our head in agreement. But it has an actual real-world meaning for us. Sanctification is defined as the act or process of becoming holy, a gift given through the power of God which sets them apart. To set apart for particular use in a special purpose or work, and to make holy and sacred. Now, let's put this in an analogy that I like. Sanctification is the process of becoming the tool God designed me to be. See, a pen is sanctified when it's used to write on paper. If you use it for any other purpose, it is not sanctified. You are sanctified when you do God's will as He designed you. Sanctification allows us in this life to become the salt and light that Jesus talks about. We can lead with love. It's beautiful stuff. Engaging in spiritual disciplines tells God that we are ready, that we have put in the work, that we are prepared for battle, and we are ready to be set apart for His will and His purpose. We are telling God, through our actions, we are ready to get into the game. That brings us back to fasting. In Matthew 6:16, Jesus lets us know that His expectation that it is that we will fast. So what is Christian fasting? When do we do it? And what should we expect from it? What is it? Well, Christian fasting is the voluntary abstinence from food. Maybe we should use willful there. The willful abstinence from food. Fasting can mean that you skip one meal or that you skip a week's worth of meals. Jesus fasted for 40 days, but the Old Testament only has one mandated fast, and that was the 24-hour fast for the Day of Atonement. There aren't any other time requirements in the Bible. And most Christians start with shorter fasts and work their way up. Now, here's where I may say something that's a little controversial and may upset you. But please bear with me and hear me out. Jesus was most definitely talking about fasting from food. Jesus was not talking about fasting from anything else. Now, I do realize there are people and people in this congregation who cannot fast from food for medical reasons. I'm not speaking to you. A Christian fast should be from food, not Facebook, not social media, not television, not sports, not tobacco or alcohol or even certain kinds of food. Now, the temporary or even permanent fasting from the things I just mentioned, or anything that becomes that has the possibility of becoming an idol or lead you to sin, that's a good thing. You should fast from those things. You should stop doing those things. You should take a break from Facebook. Turn your TV off. Start eating healthy foods. You will become a better Christian for it. The problem with all of these fasts is that they are things we don't need to survive. We can live without them, and throughout history have lived without them. The willful restriction of food reminds us that we are in fact completely dependent on God to provide for us. Additionally, the self-discipline required not to run to the refrigerator or stop by the gas station to get a snack, because it was tempting, I assure you, helps us to realize that we can actually control ourselves. We have the ability to control our sin nature, at least in some ways. It reminds us that we have power in the Lord, and we are a child of God. He will strengthen you. When we fast as Christians, the goal is to grow closer to God, and it is always done in partnership with prayer. we must let God know what we seek. That leads us to the next question. When should we fast? Well, here's some biblical examples of fasting. If you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 17. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights prior to the start of his ministry. He fasted so that he could seek his Father's guidance and strength. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, we are told, "Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust." Paul and Barnabas fasted prior to selecting elders for the churches at Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So they prepared, just like Jesus prepared for a difficult time, by seeking the Lord through fasting and prayer. In Nehemiah chapters 1:1-4, Nehemiah learned about the fallen gates of Jerusalem and the terrible state of the Israelites. He mourned and fasted. Ezra fasted for protection. The Ninevites fasted for repentance. David fasted for a sick child. Moses fasted. Esther fasted. Ahab fasted. Fasting is mentioned 77 times in the Bible. That's more often than baptism is mentioned. Why should we fast? Well, we can fast for repentance, leadership, wisdom, healing, to repair our relationship with God. Maybe we just need to worship God. Maybe we need to be obedient to the teachings and examples of Jesus. Now, here's a example of when I fasted, or the most recent fast. And I didn't clear this with the elders when I wrote this in here, so I'm clearing it now. We're good to talk about the fast. Okay. The elders and I recently completed a 48-hour fast with the desire to seek God's will and guidance for this church and what he needs us to do to strengthen it. It's of great concern to the leadership of this church. We love you. We want this church to be successful. We desperately, 100% wholeheartedly want you to be mature Christians and spread God's will throughout this world. We want to make sure we get it right. We want to make sure that God is leading us and we're not being led by ourselves. So we did a 48-hour fast. That's one example. You may have your own examples. If you don't have your own example, start talking to the people that you're around. Prior to that, the last fast I did was a 36-hour fast for the youth group. And that was a long time ago. Fasting isn't something that we do a lot of. Not spiritual fasting. Now, we'll get caught up in medical fasting. Those of us over the age, well, never mind. There's a few of us who've had to go through the colonoscopy. Gene, where are you, Gene? I got one in. We had to go through the colonoscopy medical procedure, and that requires a 24-hour fast. It's not super fun. Some of you have had to do fast for other medical reasons. We can do it, but when it comes to fasting to get closer to God, well, that seems to be a little bit tougher, doesn't it? It's a little bit harder to do. So what should you expect when you fast? Well, to be honest, it's not very pleasant. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't feel really, really good physically. I don't know anybody who's physically enjoyed a fast. You may feel hunger pains. Well, you will feel hunger pains. You may have a decrease in energy. It might be difficult to sleep. You may get a little cranky. What's that called? Hangry? Hangry? You may get a little hangry. But you won't die. God actually designed you to be able to handle fasting. Your body has the ability to survive missed meals and even short-term famines. After around 18 hours with no food, your body, and specifically your liver, begin the process of turning stored body fat into usable energy. As a general rule, it takes about 1 pound of fat for your body to function daily without food. And since most of us carry around, and I'm not speaking for everybody, just an extra 20 or 30 pounds of stored energy, we can survive for quite a while without food. In the survival world, there's a rule of threes. In the prepping world, Natalie, I know, you do it all the time. The rule of threes, 3 hours without shelter, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. Okay, that is a standard survival mantra. Everybody knows it. Campers know it. Hikers know it. 3 weeks without food. So we're equipped. We can handle it. We can handle it. We're designed to survive fasting. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many of you watch the TV show Alone, but it's a TV program where they send some folks out into the vast wilderness by themselves. They videotape themselves, and they have to survive with just what they bring with them and whatever they can find on the land. The most recent series or season, the young man survived 60 days in the field. He did not find any food while he was out there. He had 10 pounds of food that he took with him and about 70 pounds of body fat. He went in understanding how the body can handle turning fat into energy, and won by simply surviving on his body. So you can survive. It's not going to kill you. It's only going to hurt just a little bit. So that's the physical side. What about the spiritual side? What should we expect? Well, that's going to depend on what you seek. At a minimum, you will feel closer to God and more dependent on His provisions. That's minimally. And while I can't speak for everyone's experience, chances are pretty good you will receive an answer, though it probably won't be the one you expected to get. During my recent fast that I talked about for the church, God didn't give me an answer on what I should do. Rather, He gave me guidance on how I should be. He showed me through a messenger that He doesn't need me to fix anything. It's His kingdom, not mine. I'm not responsible for His plan. He neither sought nor needs my opinion on that. It's His plan. What do I know? I can't be loving and kind if I'm carrying around a sense of defeat, guilt, and failure on my heart. See, I love this church. I love all of you. And I take all of this so personally. I want all of you to be successful in your walk. And for whatever reason, God has made me a worrywart since I was a little kid. And so I take it all as my fault. If you're unhappy, it's my fault. If you're in pain, it's my fault. If there's something the church isn't doing for you, it's my fault. I carry that around with me, and it sours me. Now, I've been, and we're going to get a little personal here, but I've been an elder for about 8 months now. And in that time, I have watched my attitude diminish when I walk in these doors. I have watched the happiness and joy I felt drop off of the chart. And there's no way in the world you guys can't see that. I don't have a poker face. I carry it on my face. I carry it in my body language. You deserve better than that. I love you. I want the best for you. And God showed me that all I've got to do is give you love. He can handle the big pieces. He doesn't need me to do that. My obligation as an elder is to lead biblically, truthfully, with honesty and love. If I'm doing that, I'm doing God's will. But I do not need to carry guilt around with me. I do not need to carry defeat on my face. You guys deserve better than that. And you're going to get it. God showed me that the world doesn't need another angry, frustrated Christian. There's plenty of them. Plenty of them. Most of them are Calvinists, but we'll leave that for another, the old Calvinist to give away. I got you. Listen, I don't know what fasting is going to show you. I just know that you should do it because Jesus tells us to do it. And so if Jesus tells me to do something, I'm not going to keep on not doing it. When he tells me to stop doing something, I think it's in my best interest not to do it. So fast. I can't wait to hear the stories about how God has acted in your life through fasting. I can't wait to see the wonderful things that God can do through this congregation, through the use of fasting, and all of the spiritual disciplines. But if you want to find out what God's plan for you is, if you want to find out what God's answer for you is, if you need healing, fasting can do that for you. So go do it. Now, I'd like to change things up just a little bit and allow the congregation to tell us some praises. So we don't need to have full testimonies, but if you've got a praise, if God has acted this week in your life, I'd love for this congregation to hear about it. I've told you how God acted in my life and showed me some errors I was making. Perhaps some of you have got something you'd like to share with this congregation. We serve an amazing God. We serve a loving, caring God, and he does an awful lot in our lives, but we don't do a really good job of letting others know about that. So if you've got something you'd like to share, just raise your hand and I'll come around.
Well, first of all, your sermon was a blessing. Short. That's a blessing right there. Just first of all, the full church this morning was a blessing. All the people that were at breakfast was encouraging. I mean, I'm not the only person that's noticed our numbers have been low, and so just to see a lot of people here is a blessing. Unlike Sean, I truly, truly love this church, and I love the people in it, and it depresses me when we show up and there's nobody here. And so it's encouraging. Some of you maybe didn't even notice, and some of you did, but Jason and I were gone for a while, and it's been a huge blessing coming back and being welcomed back, no questions asked. And I know a few weeks ago, some of the ladies and Sean, we got together and had a little prayer service, and those of you that were here, gosh, it was amazing. And then I know some of you joined us from home or wherever you were at and prayed. And wow, it was awesome, wasn't it, girls? I mean, the Holy Spirit was here. And it had been a long time since we had felt that. And, you know, gosh, we don't want to take credit, but hey, we prayed specifically for the elders and other people in this church. And I want to say we're going to take a little credit for lifting you guys up, because we have been praying for you. And I hope that, I mean, I know your fast helped too, but I hope that we helped a little bit too, because we have really been praying for you. We know you guys have a hard job, and we're not going to stop praying for you and this whole church. And, we can be a church full of life again. We can.
Amen.
And it's, you know, people always say, but I don't hear God talk to me. But I think just your sermon this morning told us maybe you haven't tried fasting yet.
Thank you.
So, as many of you know, I've been struggling with work. I've just had a hard time, haven't had a boss for 2 years, and it's just been very frustrating. And so about a year ago, I kind of stopped and was still. And in the past month, it's one of those, be careful what you pray for, because God's thrown a lot of things at me in the past week, including filling my boss's position with these two vacancies with two amazing women that are so encouraging, but also gave me a new possible job opportunity that's been kind of like a dream of mine that I'm a top candidate for. So now I'm like stuck in this hard place of like, okay, well, now what? But he's just blessed me so much with that. And then just a bunch of little things. I'm actually working on a testimony/sermon for the youth with this. So it's a lot of to be continued things, but yeah, a lot of little things, a lot of exciting things. And he's showing up. Careful what you pray for. He might get more than you wanted.
Yeah, just pray for some patience. That's always fun.
The one thing I got, and I've been thinking about this for the past 2 weeks really hard and heavy, is Chuck and Joyce Embry. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't all be here today. And I hope everybody gets a chance to go thank them today. I started as a 15-year-old at Washington Street Christian Church, and Chuck was a pastor there. And the support they've given to my family and watching us grow. They married Carmen and I and all of our kids. And not just our family, even my extended family. She reaches out and Joyce does and visits. And all the cookies she's made through the years. And, I mean, there's no possible way we could all thank them for what they've done. But I hope everybody tries today and just let them know how much they're loved.
Anyone else? We haven't done this side of the room. Oh.
I just want to say that today, to do daily devotions is one of the best things that I have discovered in all my times of being a Christian since I was a 12-year-old kid, which was not, with very much knowledge.
Just
but now, in our older age, and Jim and I don't always have devotions together, but most mornings of the week we do have. And so I think that if you spend time with God, whether it's 10 or 15 minutes, you are going to find a big change in your life and your attitude.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a praise that they'd like to share? All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I need to leave that on, don't I? Please stand and pray with me. Lord, you are truly, truly amazing. You lead us on paths that we couldn't possibly anticipate. You guide us in ways that we can't fathom. Lord, we ask for your continued blessing we ask that you show us your will, the right way to go, that you strengthen us as we continue this walk through spiritual discipline, that we continue this walk that leads us to sanctification. Lord, we're ready. We love you, and we want to do your will. We thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of our sins. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to have a couple folks here at the cross, and then some Stephen's minister in the back if you need to pray with somebody during this contemplation. Thank you.
This is the end.